Please take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Matthew chapter 5 has the Beatitudes that Jesus gave, and certainly it's very interesting. I recently heard a radio preacher preaching on the Beatitudes, but my inspiration for the message today came out of a church barbecue. We all have an appetite, right? Okay. And certainly God has given us a spiritual appetite that needs to be satisfied as well. And certainly we can thank the Lord for this incredible promise that we find here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. The Bible says, blessed or happy are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your many, many blessings to us. And Father, we thank you for this special blessing that you can satisfy the soul's need, that you can satisfy not only the need for salvation, but also the need that we have as we walk with you to be filled with your Spirit. And so, Lord, we thank you for this blessed promise today. Help us to rejoice in it. Help us, Father, to see the pathway that leads to this rejoicing. And, Lord, we ask this morning that you might help each one who is gathered here today to go away with a spiritual blessing in their heart concerning what you have promised. Father, we pray today that you might continue to be with Donna in these days, so soon after the passing of her husband suddenly. Pray for your comfort. We pray for your strength for her. We pray for spiritual encouragement in her life as well. Pray that you would direct her in each decision that she would be making during these days and lift her heart. Father, we pray as well that you might continue to bless the ministry of the Waterlands there in Montana. Father, we think of the church there in Blumenau that has a new pastor. We pray that that church might carry on in the loyalty to your word, that they would be steadfast in their service for you, and that you might continue to give that church fruit for your glory. We pray as well that you might help the Waterlands to be encouraged as they hear reports from the labors of many years there in Blumenau. We pray as well that you might continue to give good health to Diane and Father as our brother goes through the dental process, that you would provide for them as well. Father, we thank you for these blessings of their ministry there in Brazil and now in Montana. Father, we pray as well that you might help us as a country. Father, we pray that people would turn to you, that they would turn their focus away from what people desire in their selfishness and turn their focus to you. Father, we pray that you might bless your word as it goes forth. And we pray for the literature distribution as the John Romans go out, Father, that you would bless those in a very, very special way. And that people would come to an understanding of the gospel, not only to understand the gospel, but to be tugged on by the Holy Spirit to come and to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, thank you for what you will do in those lives today. Pray that you might meet the needs of each heart here today, that you would be glorified most of all, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is the annual church barbecue, and we all have an appetite for food, although our tastes may differ. I'm learning that that we all have a few different tastes. Our Creator God have given us a natural appetite for food and a thirst for water that without which we physical life is not sustainable. However, this appetite is only satisfied, this physical appetite is only satisfied temporarily, okay? But God says that we can have an appetite that can be permanently satisfied in Jesus Christ. And so we want to look at that this morning as well. Certainly, there is always a hunger that reminds us that the body needs additional fuel. I think most of you cooks know that it seems like people kind of gather around the table three times a day, huh? They still want more. And God has put that in there. But man in his fallen state, since the Garden of Eden, they have a different desire, a different appetite, and that is governed by their sin nature. Every one of us has a sin nature since Adam. And that appetite is for the wrong thing, and that is called sin. The Bible is very clear that the pleasures of sin endure only for a season. Moses said that he would rather suffer with the people of God than to have the pleasures of sin for just a momentary time. Many times people think that they're going to find some sort of satisfaction in sin, but it never lasts. And certainly that is so true. Sin leaves a person in a state of discontent. One of the reasons that we've done the Bible study on Jim Berg, Quieting a Noisy Soul, is that we see the, as it were, the process of a person going down in the pathway of sin, but also the way that we can get back to God and have that soul quieted. And in his diagram that he has in Quieting a Soul, it all starts with the noisy soul being one of unbelief. We do not trust the promises of God, put our faith in the person of God. And as a result, we have discontentment. We're always seeking something more, but it does not satisfy until we come to Jesus Christ. And so that is important for us to understand. Certainly, discontent leads to tragic consequences in people's lives, as we've learned in the Bible study about quieting a noisy soul. It leads to anxiety, anger, despair, or hopelessness. We are going through the days of the virus challenge here in America and around the world, and there is a great deal of fear that is stimulating hopelessness. But I am so glad that God does not leave us hopeless. Amen? He gives us that which satisfies our hearts. But this last week, by way of contrast, looking at what God does for us, we have his love, his mercy, his grace, and he has put an appetite in our heart for those things that would turn to him and for his righteousness. The opposite of righteousness is, of course, sin. And I thought one of the interesting definitions of sin you find in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, all unrighteousness is sin. So all that is wrong, all that is not right with God is sin. And certainly that's the wrong appetite. We need to have the appetite for righteousness. Our text today clearly says that those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. To be filled in another way is of saying that this is the way to contentment and satisfaction. In other words, when God provides this wonderful promise, this incredible promise that we can be filled, that we have satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's so true. This morning we want to explore what God says are the steps to a satisfied appetite that only he can provide for you. Lasting satisfaction or contentment is found in God's righteousness. I want us to go back to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, the first part of that verse, where it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. There are two different words in the original language for that word blessed. This is the word that means happiness or joy. And certainly that is something that we all need in our lives. Many people look for happiness in the wrong places. But God says we can have true happiness. And so we look at that. As we've already mentioned here, there is a heartache of sin because the pleasures of sin are but for a season. But in contrast to that is the gladness, the joy, the happiness that comes from the Lord. But I want us to look at the sin appetite for just a moment or two. And we find, if we go back in our Bibles to James chapter 1, if you can turn back there after the book of Hebrews, James chapter 1, and I want us to look at just a moment about this desire. An appetite is a desire, a craving, okay? It is those things, and notice what James has to say about, another word for that, thirst, that hunger, and that desire is the word lust in the Bible. The Bible says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Okay? We see there that certainly lust is something that deals in relationship to temptation. It also is Satan uses those temptation desires to create discontentment in our lives, and so that we would continually be enslaved to sin. But he says here it's our own lust, their personalized desires that we speak of here. And God says this is the process of temptation, but these are the results in verse 15. He says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so we find that lust, in the sense of sinful desires, certainly has tragic consequences for both the body and the mind and the soul in the lifestyle that is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3. And so let's turn back there to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3. And the Bible says, among whom also we had our conversation or our lifestyle, as it were, in times past, in the lusts of our flesh. In other words, there are bodily cravings that many have today. And certainly those bodily cravings many times are end up in the sexual perversions that we have in our society today. And Paul says the unsaved person naturally has an inclination towards those things. And he says not only the desires of the flesh, but the desires of the mind. What do we use our mind for, folks? We use it to learn. To think, right? Okay? And so Satan wants to fill our minds as well with things that we would take into our thoughts life and to our learning, that we might be ingrained in going in the ways that he would desire. Certainly, that is something that is very well pictured. And let's take our Bibles and turn one more time here to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. This talks about those desires, that appetite as well. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now, when the Bible uses world, it's not talking about the globe. It's talking about world in the sense of those things that are against God. And he says there, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. Here we're talking about the bodily lusts again. And he says, and the lust of the eyes, those things that we see, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth, what? Forever. And so we find those things there. As we think about that, there is a apt description of those lusts. Lusts of the flesh are cravings for pleasure. Loves for eyes are cravings for possessions. Pride of life, cravings for power and prestige. This last week on Wednesday, we looked at the Bible study, and I was so disappointed that one of our members that owns a motorcycle, now some of you might know who that is, was not here, because Jim Berg had an illustration of how that we are to deal with sin in relationship to riding a motorcycle in a dangerous situation. Okay? When you're approaching an object at full throttle, and suddenly you say, that object, if I slam into it at 50 miles an hour, I'm in big trouble, right? So how are you going to stop that motorcycle, okay? One of the things that I think Brother Rick would tell us is that you got to cut the throttle. You don't want to keep giving it gas, giving it fuel. And God says we ought not to be giving the sin nature fuel to go on forward, okay? A second thing is that you might not only want to cut the throttle, you might want to step on the brakes. Isn't that right? And, you know, in a Christian life, when we step on the brakes, we have to say no to sin. We ought not be yielding to Satan's temptations that would have us to say, yes, I'll do that. No, we need to say no, okay? And so that's important. And then there, this is almost unheard of unless you're on a motorcycle these days. Everybody's got an automatic transmission anymore in cars just about. But he said the other thing that's so important that you need is that you need to disengage the clutch, okay? Rather than letting that keep turning. And so we certainly need to know that Christ can overrule our sin nature when we have him as our Savior. Isn't that wonderful to know we can disengage the clutch? We don't have to sin, and God has given us the ability to do that. Now you say, where did Jim Berg come up with that? Jim Berg was when he was in high school, he was on a motorcycle, and he had a friend on the back of his motorcycle, and all of a sudden there was this pickup that was stopped on their road, and he was going 30 miles an hour, and he didn't see it in time, and he didn't have time to do all three of those things. And he slammed into the back of that pickup, and he flipped over into the bed of the pickup. But what happened was that not only did he go over, but the passenger behind him went over and came on him on top of him. He didn't feel so good. There were some consequences. And folks, we will have consequences when we give in to the wrong desires, the wrong appetites that Satan has desires for us to do. And so we need to make sure that we do those things. Jim Berg also said that your entertainment, your pursuit of possessions must be flesh-free, and your friendships must be flesh-free as well if you want to pursue righteousness. On the flip side, I want us to not only think about the sin and the strong draw that it has, but righteousness ought to have a strong draw in each of our lives. We ought to hunger and we ought to thirst after doing righteousness and following the Lord. We need to have those things in our lives. And so in James chapter 5, if we go back to James again here, in James chapter 5 and verse 16, we find there that the Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Folks, there is a righteous desire to be one who is an intercessor and pleads that God will work in hearts. You say, is that important that we pray and that we intercede and that we're concerned about people that are destroying their lives by sin? Do we pray for those people? Do we have a heart for those people? Certainly, Elijah did. And God blessed his righteous prayers as he interceded. Moses. Those of you that read the feature devotional yesterday know that Moses simply pled with God to have mercy on a sinful people that had forgotten how much God had done for them. And God heard his prayer as he interceded. Certainly that is a wonderful, pure, righteous thing to be seeking after too as a righteous person. I read this week in a prayer guide about a man named Carlos. That word Carlos just rings in my mind all the time because I'm praying for a son, a man that's in my son's ministry in Uruguay. And he claims to be an agnostic. And God's tried to work in his heart in the past. And I don't know what else God is going to do, but God took his wife. And yet this man has not come to Jesus yet. And I pray for Carlos, but this was about another Carlos in the South American hemisphere in Colombia. And Carlos was the head of a drug operation in Colombia that used 4,000 horses and mules and required 500 workers. And he had 40 bodyguards who traveled with him. And he was a ruler and his kingdom was a dark one. That was the Carlos of Colombia. And it says, one harvesting season, Carlos, an avid reader, found himself deep in the mountains with no books. So he started reading the only book he could find. Wasn't this something? I believe this is part of what we need to be praying for in the literature distribution, folks. That God will so move in hearts and lives that they will have a hunger to read the Word of God. And isn't it amazing? God gave only... He gave only one book for him, this drug king, to read, the Bible. You think that just happened? No, I think God had something in mind, don't you? And then that wasn't all that happened, but he, in his boredom, he turned on the radio and he heard a message of the gospel being preached. And he said, I felt as though the preacher was speaking right to me. Now, do you think the Holy Spirit had responded to somebody that was intercessing for that ministry of that radio station in South America, which is so well known? Certainly, I believe there are many people that pray for that. And we have one of our missionaries that we support, the Lovells. And they brought a man who has a radio station there in Peru and is transmitting radio broadcasts all over South America. Do we need to pray for that man? We do. And as it goes on in this little article, it says that night he had injured his leg with a machete in the harvest season. He says, as I listened to that broadcast, I gave my life to the Lord. And now you know what Carlos is doing? He has become a pastor and a planter of 25 churches in Colombia. Does it pay to seek righteousness? To intercede in those that are still in the web of sin and those appetites that have drawn them away from God and how that they can come back to God. This is just an amazing story. Of the 40 bodyguards that Carlos had, 14 of them have become preachers. Is prayer powerful, folks? Can God do things even in Boone, Iowa, as we pray, as we intercede, that God would use his word in the hearts and the lives of people? Yes, he can. And so we have this opportunity to intercede for souls that will receive a packet in the mail in the coming weeks. Certainly, we need to plead with God about spiritual needs. But as I go back to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, it talks about this hunger, this thirst. We saw it in Carlo's life that God puts that through the Holy Spirit and urging to come to Jesus Christ. And when he does, we will have true spiritual happiness in our life. Joy that will last forever and ever and ever. Because Jesus' righteousness never changes. Amen? And when your salvation is built on his righteousness rather than your righteousness, you have that which will satisfy you forever and ever. And then as I thought about salvation, we have the joy of eternal security in Jesus' righteousness. We have the joy of peace with God through his righteousness, therefore being justified. That means being declared righteous. We have peace with God. The warfare with God has been settled once and for all. We have the joy of deliverance from the penalty and the power and the presence of sin. And we have the joy of the presence of the Lord and the Holy Spirit. We have the joy of the fruit of the Spirit, which incidentally, folks, is joy, love, joy, peace, and so on. Those things are there for us. And certainly, who is it that gives us all those wonderful gifts in salvation? It's none other than our Father who sent his Son. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And so the gift of righteousness in salvation brings a permanent satisfaction to us. I was reading a book this week by a preacher who I heard at the New Testament Association meetings about 3 years ago in St. Paul. And certainly he has some wonderful comments in his book, but this is what he said. Christ did not die on the cross to give us religion. He died to give us himself. To hunger and thirst after righteousness is to hunger and thirst after Christ. At conversion, the perfect righteousness of Christ is put to our account. This is not something we accomplish for ourselves, but something that God does in and through us. Amen? What a blessing. Those that try to achieve righteousness by themselves never know if they have done enough. Christ's righteousness never changes. It is enduring. The soul that has settled his or her eternal future on Christ has a satisfaction that will bring them through this life. Certainly, God has satisfied the demand of perfect righteousness through his Son. I want us to take our Bibles and turn back to the book of Psalms. I hope you're able to read these things or look it up on your phone, but quickly. But Psalm 63. Psalm 63 is a great picture of a person who has found satisfaction in the Lord. It says there in verse 1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. That's that hungering and thirsting, okay? My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, and my lips shall praise thee. Wow. Isn't it wonderful to have the loving kindness of God? He keeps his promises. Thus will I bless thee. While I live, I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be, what? Satisfied, as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Not only has he been his help, as it says here, but we find as we go on here, it says verse 7 there, thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. There is the satisfaction of abundance, folks. It is the same concept that we find in our text today in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 when it says, they shall be filled. It's an abundance. It's actually the picture of a person who is feeding a calf and getting them ready and fattening them up. They give them in abundance. And God says, I want to give to you in my abundance. What a wonderful thing. And so the soul that has received Christ has perfect righteousness, not imperfect. righteousness. Nothing is lacking. And so they can say there is no want to them that fear him and have his perfect love that casteth out the fear of judgment. Milton Jones, the preacher that I was talking about, also said, when you receive Christ, you do not have a piece of bread, but the whole loaf. I like that. Amen? And then he said, when you thirst for Christ's righteousness, you do not have a sip, but you have the whole pitcher. We receive it all. There, that is righteousness that will satisfy you both you and God forever. But there is a second step. Not only do we find righteousness in salvation, but there is also this step of developing and maintaining a righteous appetite, which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. We find that there in the second part of Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, that they were to hunger and thirst. This is the necessity of being filled with the Spirit and under His control. And certainly that is so important. J. Dwight Pentecost said, spiritual growth, spiritual development, and spiritual health are inseparably united to a spiritual appetite. Christians who walk with God desire to participate in those things that will advance their walk with the Lord. And certainly you will not develop a spiritual life by regarding that as something that is for others but not for you. Folks, God wants to bless you. He does not want sour, sad saints. Can I say that one more time? God doesn't want sour, sad saints. He wants saints that are joyful, those that are rejoicing in Him. And so He has a plan that we can pursue those things that God would have for us. First of all, if we're going to have that development of an appetite for righteousness, we're going to have a desire for the Word of God. Do we have the same desire for the Word of God that we have for food? Ought we not to have? This is what sustains spiritual life. We shouldn't want the Word of God in our life for a whole week long. Somebody said that'll make one weak spiritually, huh? W-E-A-K. And certainly that is there. And so we ought to have a desire. And the Bible says concerning those that are newborn babes in Christ that they have a desire for the sincere milk of the Word of God. That word sincere is unadulterated. There's nothing in it that will destroy your spiritual life, only that which will build it up. Not only do we need that desire, but we also need to have the delight in the Word of God. Psalm 122, verse 1, when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, I was glad. Are you glad to be here this morning? Or is this just something that's a routine on Sunday? Or is this just something that you discipline yourself to do? Or are you rejoicing that you're here? Folks, do you remember the joy that we had the first time that we were back in the house of God after all those times that we couldn't come here because of the virus? We ought to have that joy in our heart every time that we're here. We ought to have that delight in doing what God asks us to do, to come into His presence. Prayer meetings, Sunday school, and evening services are opportunities to exercise your faith as well as Sunday morning. And certainly we need Christians that have that delight in God's Word. What kind of an appetite do you have today in your life? It is an appetite driven by the things of the world or the appetite driven by the things of the Lord. Spiritual growth and blessing depend on the right kind of appetite. May God give us an appetite every day for His precious Word. Amen? And then we need to maintain that desire for righteousness. We need to call on the Lord to make known His righteousness in His Word. You ought to get out your concordance. How many of you have a concordance? Do you know, anybody know what I'm talking about? Maybe you have it on your phone, maybe on your computer. I hope you have one. But just look up the word righteousness. and start going through and seeing what is it that I'm supposed to be looking for here and applying to my life. Certainly that's important. We need to confess and forsake our sin if we're going to maintain a life of righteousness so unrighteousness does not come into our life, but that we are on the path of righteousness. We need to communicate with our Father in permanent prayer, frequent prayer. We need to continue faithfully in the local church, true to the Word of God. We need to carry the gospel to the lost. And righteousness is maintained as believers surrender their lives to the will of God and exercise themselves in doing the will of God. Surrender and obedience are so important to walking and maintaining righteous living. So there is a lasting satisfaction in righteousness. That is the incredible promise that we find here in verse 6. It says, "And those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. If only we could realize that God desires to fill us more than we could ever desire to be filled. Isn't that amazing? God wants to fill our lives much more than we desire, many times. Isn't that right? He wants to infuse us with a spiritual hunger that can be satisfied. And certainly there is an illustration of that in the scriptures in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Certainly wine controls the body, leading to excessive and oftentimes sinful behavior. So the Holy Spirit controls the submissive believer, leading them to a godly behavior. The Spirit-filled life is a partial fulfillment of the promise of those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, "You see, the Christian is one who at one and the same time is thirsting yet filled." Can you be satisfied and have an appetite and desire at the same time? You know, I think some people may have a desire for a barbecue today, I hope. Okay, I wouldn't want a lot of food downstairs to go to waste. But certainly, that's important for us to understand. The more that he is filled, the more that he hungers and thirsts as a believer. That is the blessedness of the Christian life. It goes on. You reach a certain stage in sanctification, but do not rest on that for the rest of your life. You go on changing from glory to glory till in heaven you take your place. That all comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's turn back there, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I may not get to the end of this message, but that's all right. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God." And so as we get in the Word of God and we see our Lord, and God gives us the appetite for those things, and he begins to change our life, we want more, not less, of him. Amen? Paul said, that I may know him. For me to live is Christ. And certainly this is the liberty to be all that God desires as we are transformed into the image of God. And certainly that is a wonderful thing. I am going to skip over some things here and get to the third step, and that is we need to rest in the satisfaction of God's righteousness. Certainly in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, we find there, "For they shall be filled." In the past, our hunger that was in our hearts, that was knowing that there was a void in our human heart without Jesus Christ, that is filled at salvation. What about the present? Does God continue to work as we've just read? Yes, he does. Luke would say in Luke chapter 6 and verse 21, "Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled." In other words, God says there's something that can be satisfied even in this time between salvation and when the Lord returns. It will fill our lives. And so we need to certainly trust the Lord to fulfill all the things that are in our life. And during this time, even when we go through trials and temptations, the Lord is there. There was a man by the name of Charles Weigel, and he was a man who lived for God and was a hymn writer, and he wrote the great song, "No One Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus." His wife left a note on the table for him one day when he was an evangelist. She was an evangelist's wife. And she said, "I'm leaving because I want the things of this world." And she left him. He was devastated. But in that devastation, the Lord came and gave him the words to, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus since I found him as a friend. So strong and true. I would love to tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something no other friend could do. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe, and Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There is no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me." Folks, I think there's an appetite in each heart of every believer that they want the Lord's loving care in their lives. And certainly Charles Weigel found that in those days after his wife left him. It was interesting. Within 5 years, his wife out in the world seeking those things that she thought would satisfy, she dies. Charles Weigel, he goes on trusting the Lord. This was the first hymn that he wrote 5 years after his wife had left him. And he went on serving the Lord and finding the Lord to be the satisfaction that he needed in his life. Certainly, that is the satisfaction that we have in salvation in the past. We have it in the present as we walk through this life, but we also have it in the future. And one verse, I hope someday some preacher will preach it at my funeral if the Lord tarries and I go to be with him. But I love that verse in Psalm 17, verse 15. "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness when I awake with his likeness." That's all yet to come, folks. But God's going to fulfill that incredible promise when he said, "They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled." Thank God. Heavenly Father, we love these people. We thank you for their patience. We thank you for their love for you. We pray that you might fill the heart in a special way as we think about hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And Father, we pray that you would bless as well in our time of fellowship today and our time around the table at the barbecue. And Father, we pray that you would help us to realize that all that we enjoy is from our Father above and that we have received it through Christ's righteousness. In Jesus' name. Amen.